sometimes people get confused about what is the main function of the meditation on taking and giving, because perhaps we do the meditation, we enjoy it very much, we arise from our meditation, and it appears as if nothing has changed. The world is still pervaded by suffering. The six realms are still filled with the horrors of samsara. And we think, well, what was the point of just imagining these beautiful things when nothing has actually changed? Now, the main function of the meditation on taking and giving is not directly to alleviate the suffering of others and bestow enlightenment upon them. The main function, the direct purpose of the meditation on taking and giving is to grow our love and our compassion so that they become strong enough to carry us to enlightenment. While our love and compassion remain conditional, while to any degree they are tarnished and polluted by selfish concerns, they can't carry us to our enlightenment. And so this meditation on taking and giving is cutting the relationship between ourself and these selfish instincts, self-cherishing mind. It's the meditation that will transform us into an actual bodhisattva. Now then, the secondary purpose or indirect purpose of the meditation on taking and giving, of course, is to develop this ability to alleviate the suffering of others and bestow blessings and happiness, like a Buddha does. And that is accomplished through the power of imagination. Our imagination is the most powerful force there is. With our imagination, we can attain enlightenment. In the New Eight Steps to Happiness, Venerable Geshe-la says, if we can't even imagine attaining enlightenment, we never will. Our enlightenment will be attained through the force of our imagination. Because everything is imagination. Nothing is real. Nothing has a true, fixed, intrinsic nature. Everything is imagined. What is limiting the power of our imagination, what is holding it back from being this profoundly transformative force, is our grasping. We believe the things we normally see actually exist. So we can imagine someone else is an emanation of Buddha, but we don't inhabit that imagination. We can imagine ourselves as Buddha, but we don't inhabit that imagination. Still, an inner voice is telling us, not really. They're not, you know, I can think these nice Buddhist thoughts about them, but they're actually a nasty piece of work. And I can think these beautiful Buddhist thoughts about myself, but I'm actually still very limited and ordinary. That grasping, that belief in a baseline fundamental reality that is unchangeable, is what is limiting the power of our imagination. That's what's holding us back. With the realization of emptiness, we cut that grasping mind. We realize there isn't an underneath objective true reality. That's not true. It's not there. It's the opposite. Everything is just subjective. Everything is just imagination. At which point our imagination becomes so powerful because we can imagine things into real experience. We can imagine things as real as we are presently imagining our ordinary life. We can imagine into existence things that are as complete and comprehensive and as functional. We can imagine an enlightened world, an enlightened self.